Thank you for your outpouring here of, I mean, your sincere love that I see this morning. Pastor appreciation, I didn't even know it was that. And I saw a text or something yesterday, and I said, oh, is it? And so I thank you. I really do for everything today. I appreciate it. I was talking about youth and feeling old and then want to be 20 years younger earlier, but you know, we all have these weird dreams, you know, and I had a dream a few nights ago that I was back with the Mean Green jumping out of airplanes. And I mean, it was so real. I felt the rush, the air, the when you sucked out the door. And, we were jumping jets, those old C-141s. We were jumping C-130s, C-141s, the Chinook helicopter walking out the back ramp, all that kind of stuff. But you jump a jet and you don't jump. You just walk to the door in the side of the old C-141s, and you made the turn and handed off your static line to the jump master, and you're going real fast. But you turn, made the turn, you start to step out the door, and that from those engines, it just sucked you out. And you went right underneath the wing. They quit using those. They got a different plane now, because jumpers, when you were sucked out, it sucked you out. Your feet went first like that, and you... And it sucked you, and you'd see the engine and the wing pass right over your head. And too many jumpers, got hit. And so we went to a different plane. Not that means anything here, but those were the good old days, you know. And it would just suck you out of that plane, and then you drop, and it chute opens, and you're looking to see if the panels are blown. And I was going through all that. I was even going through the check, 1,000, 2,000, 3,000, and you feel the opening shock about 5,000, and check canopy and see if you got any blown panels, and then you're pulling on your riser. And I was reliving all that. And I woke up from that. And I was thinking, you ever do that? So realistic in one of them that you're there? And it took me out, and I couldn't figure out that I wasn't there. I thought, what am I doing here? I'm there. And I felt so young again. And so that's my remedy to feeling younger when you're older. Dream you're young. It'll help. So anyway, then I jump out of bed, and I start feeling the pains in my hips and knees and shoulders from smashing into the ground so many times. And that's what the VA tells me. I have permanent nerve damage all up my back, neck, shoulder from smashing into the ground. And then a guy fell on me. And that's a bad thing about jumping. Don't think about, got a whole 1,000, 500 guys jumping. When you hit the ground, you're just out of the first danger. The second danger is somebody falling from the sky and landed on top of you. And so anyway, a guy came across and hit me right across the shoulder. And it ruined the nerve all across here, and it's slowly going down my arm. I don't want it to affect this finger, but it's about right here right now. So we'll see what happens. But anyway, you can stick me with something, I don't feel it all the way up and down. So pray for that too. It's called nerve entrapment. That's what I have involved over that. Anyway, why am I telling you that? I don't know. You kind of opened me up to be a little more personal. We're going to get personal in this message. This is a message, when I start out, you're going to say, huh? We've heard this. Nobody likes this one, except you might like when we go deeper, and we're going to pursue it, and we're going to go deeper than I've gone before, because I've not studied it at the depth. I've been, as you know, I took some time and done a lot of studying and looking at the Word. And let me just read it, and then we'll take and dive into it. Because I have never liked this passage. Never. Okay? So I don't expect you to at first either. But it helped me gain an understanding that I've not had in the past. So yes, as you take notes, you'll say, oh, we haven't had these notes before. So out of Matthew 5, I'm using the New Living Translation. It'd be verses 38 through 42 or so. He said, Jesus is speaking. He said, you've heard the law that says the punishment must match the injury. an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Okay? But he changes it. He said, I'm changing it right now. He said, I say to you, do not resist an evil person. I don't like this. It says, do not resist an evil person. If someone slaps you on the right cheek, offer the other cheek also. Anybody like that? No. To me, it's always been an unpleasant verse. If you're sued in court and your shirt is taken from you, give your coat too. If a soldier demands that you carry his gear for a mile, carry it 2 miles. And give to those that ask, and don't turn away from those who want to borrow. And I thought, I don't want to bring that. I don't like any of it. And it's like, you don't have to like it, Tony. And it's like, that's not what it means on the surface. There's depth to this. For one, in the Greek, when you read that, if someone strikes you on the right cheek, if you follow the Greek concept, it's because you're one of His. You're because you're a Christ follower. This is not talking about somebody that walks up on the street and pops you upside the jaw. This is talking about somebody who walks up, I hope it never happens, but like right here, and because I'm preaching the word, they slap me in the face. He said, when it's for me, because you're a Christian, for my sake, this is what he's talking about. That kind of evil person that does that, he said, I want you to turn the other cheek. So let's get some of the, the translation out of the way and look at it for what it is. And in that day, you could be taken to the magistrates for, anything, and to the Sanhedrin for any violation of their laws. And he said, if they would take your clothes, if you didn't want to buy good clothes in those days because you did somebody try to get them from you. So he said, but if they do that, and he's just using that as an illustration, he said, if somebody is after your shirt and they want it that bad, say, well, here, why don't you just take my coat too? And that's the concept he's going after. And then he says, if that soldier demands you carry his gear for a mile, it was a Roman law put on the Jewish citizens that a Roman soldier, his gear, his pack, his stuff, he could come up to you and force you to carry his gear so he can have a rest for a mile. You had to carry his combat gear for a mile. So that's where that came from. So they were under that military law, and then, you carried his all of his pack and gear for 1 mile. And Jesus said, if that happens to you, which it was going to sooner or later, he said, you just keep on going and carry it 2 miles and show them what you're made of. And you say, okay, so what else is there to this? We don't like any of it. And yet, let's take it, first of all, a slap in the face. There's probably nothing more demeaning. If somebody hits me in the back, I don't like it. I'll get mad. If they hit me in the arm, if they hit me in the stomach. But there's nothing that bothers me much more than somebody doing something to my face. How about you? Even the dentist. Going to the dentist is, for me, an excruciating experience. And I've recently been... I have a good dentist. And it's not that. But they had to take a bridge out. A bridge, those are expensive. Because the tooth it was connected to crushed underneath the bridge. And they had to build the tooth back up. And you don't want to hear all that. Anyway, got the going in your mouth. And then there's the hammering and the beating. And it sounds like they got jackhammers and all kinds of stuff in there. So they had to rebuild a bunch of stuff and put a new bridge on. And then all this kind of stuff. And it's been something else. And just, it's like, don't mess with my face. Ever since I was a little kid, a lot of us, right? Most of us don't, my face, something about our face. And so when you get a slap in the face, I've only been slapped since I was a child. I got hit in the face growing up. My growing up experience wasn't so good. And maybe that's why I'm really sensitive about it, being slapped in the face. I got clawed in the face several times, and that's not good. So I have a sensitivity about being hit in the face, like a lot of us do. And I've only been slapped once in my life after that. Once. And a girl slapped me. Can you believe that? Yeah, you can. Thank you, ma'am. I was in college, and there, I don't know what had been going on. A bunch of the guys had been aggravating some of the girls over at the dorm. And this was truly, truly, I'm telling you, totally innocent. This is what happened. I'm totally innocent. This has all happened. A bunch of the girls are mad, and they're out there in front of the dorm. And I had been off with a bunch of the ROTC guys, and I came in, and we saw this cluster up there. And it was like, let's go see what's going on. Don't do that at a girls' dorm. If there's a cluster, leave. So, I go walking up there, and it's like, I did, and is everything okay? And the next thing you know, I am slapped in the face so hard. And I thought my chin was going to be that way permanently. It turned my face. And I want you to know, something comes out in you when that happens, and you want to hurt, to hit back. And I hadn't done anything. I just came up to see, what's going on? And bam! I never forgot. I could never look at that girl after that without wanting to hurt her severely. I never did, but I mean, she was on my ex list. It's a lesson there, too. Be careful striking out. Oftentimes, you strike the wrong person when you're just striking out. So, anyway, I tell you all that, not to drag out a message, but to say this. From all that, from what happened as a kid and that one slap there, I can tell you, we all know this. You know what's wrong with a slap? It's demeaning. And it's humiliating. And it hurts like all get out. But it arouses an immediate anger. Anything, hit your head, you bump your head, and I don't know why it is. When I hit my head, I get more mad than I do hurt. There you go. Yeah, you know about that. Okay. Yeah. It's a severe pain, but your anger outweighs it. We know you bump your head, but that anger just hits you. Same with a slap in the face. Jesus knows this. And he's saying to you, if they slap you in the mouth, they slap you in the face because you're one of mine, I want you to take it. Because they're slapping me. They're not slapping you because of you. You see, remember this. Jesus said, if you do it to the least of these, you're doing it to me also. If someone attacks you, slaps you, because you're one of his, it's not you they're slapping. They're slapping him. They just can't get to him. They're getting to you. And remember that he said, vengeance is mine. I will repay. And as I was studying this out, and I was thinking, God, this is still hard. This is still not something that I want to do in my life. Here's what the Lord began to show, and he just said, let's go deeper. It's like, what's deeper than a slap in the face? Here it is. You ready? I've missed this meaning for a long time. And God began to really just pour it on me of, Tony, there's something I want. Don't you take this deeper. The real slaps in the face are not the physical slap like this. The real slap in the face, son, that's hard to overcome are the emotional slaps that people get in life. And it suddenly hit me, and it was because God was hitting me, that, wait a minute, if you take this deeper, there are emotional slaps that keep stinging and keep hurting far beyond the event. And I was thinking, then suddenly, just God, you know how God works on you in a when he's giving you his word and he's showing you something about his word. And it was like, no, son, where I want you to learn to deal with slapping is when you're slapped in the face, here's just some things. You take these that apply and see where they hit you. It's like, what emotional slaps are we talking about here? And then the first thing that came to mind is when someone reveals a personal confidence you shared with them just with someone else is a personal slap. And it's like, son, you're hurt from that. You're hurt from that this very day. We're all hurting from that kind of thing. When we've shared something with someone very personal and they went and told someone else, that kind of slap. That's the slap he wants me to learn to walk away from. That's the slap, more than a physical slap for being his. And suddenly, you know, all of this starts to come home. You know, if someone slaps you in the face, turn the other cheek. He's not talking turn the other cheek just to any old person who hits you. He's saying, I want you to learn to turn the cheek to those things that hurt so bad inside when somebody slaps you in the face by revealing a confidence. Secondly, by making fun of you in public is a slap in the face. These things begin to hit hard, and they just begin to go, it's like, God, what I've been missing in this word. Look at the depth of it. It's when they humiliated him. Jesus could take the slap, the physical slap, but man, they humiliated him, they mocked him, they made fun of him, and they do us. And if any of you have ever been used as somebody else's little joke in front to make other people laugh, that's a slap in the face. That hurts. Somebody putting you down in front of other people, criticizing you, making fun of you for any reason, to build their own ego. Those are slaps, emotional slaps in the face, friends, that Jesus says you have to rely on me and trust me to turn that other cheek. That's where I want you to turn it. Because that's where it hurts the most. It's like, Tony, you don't want to be slapped in the face. No. But had you rather be slapped in the face physically or slapped in the face emotionally, I'll take the physical. Because that goes away. But when I'm slapped emotionally, it stays there and it keeps burning and burning and burning for a long time. What's another slap in the face that he wants us to turn the other cheek to? When someone you trust attacks you. You ever had someone you really trusted and they just attack you? Or when someone you care about abandons you, that's a slap in your face. It's an emotional hit and it's hard to come back from it. I've read this so many times over the years. I've heard it preached. I've heard it taught. I've taught it myself. And it's like, I just always wanted to skim over it and get away from it. Don't resist an evil person. If someone slaps you on the right cheek, turn the other. I hated that verse. I not hated it, but almost. And then God's saying, no, it's there for you. It's there to tell you I'm with you. It's there to say I understand. And it's like people are slapped in more ways than just physically in the face. You can overcome that. But Tony, you've been burning from slaps all your life, haven't most of us? Don't you still hear words? See those events? Remember when you were laughed at and mocked or ridiculed in front of people? Someone slapped you emotionally. I'll tell you something else that's a slap in the face is when you become the scapegoat and get blamed for somebody else's failure. That hurts, doesn't it? Or being told to your face that you're not good enough. Friends, there's not many of us in this room, if we think about it, that in one form or another haven't been told we're not good enough for something or somebody. You think about it. They might not have said those words, but by their actions, by their demeanor, that's what they meant. You're not good enough. And those are emotional slaps that's what Jesus is talking about. And he said, so someone slaps you in the face, in the cheek, turn the other. And then I begin to see what he was saying and said, this verse I've so despised. I've just hated these verses. Then he was saying, yeah, because you didn't understand what I was talking about. You can take a physical slap, son, and it's humiliating and it's degrading. But what about the ones when they hit you where it hurts emotionally? Where you got put down in front of people, where you were the object of somebody's ridicule or joke or gossip, where somebody used you as a scapegoat and blamed you for their problems and wouldn't take responsibility for their own, and you were easily accessible, you got it. It's the stuff we have to carry with us, the slap on the cheek that goes down deep to the heart. That burns all the way to my soul. That's what Jesus said. I want you to learn to trust me to get you through that, to turn the other cheek there. I want you to be able to turn the other cheek. And if someone says you're not good enough, They implies you're not good enough, or they blame you for their failures, or they attack you, or abandon you, where you can turn the other cheek and say, go ahead, take it all the way. Let's get it done. He said, when you do that, I'm there with you. I'll make you strong because they did it to me. They did all these things to him. They publicly ridiculed him. They criticized him. They made fun of him in public. They blamed him. They told him to his face and told each other he wasn't good enough. He didn't come to deliver Israel from the Romans, so he's not good enough. So all these things are the things that did to Christ. And he said, and he's told us in his word, if they've done it to me, they'll do it to you. But he said, when they do it to you, they're doing it to me also. And so this message is intended from God to say, let me heal you from your pain. It's a word from God to say the slap on the cheek is one thing. It's the emotional slap that goes to the heart that we want to appeal to today. To say God knows and God hears. And he's saying to me and to all of us, when you're hit emotionally, he wants you to trust him and depend on his grace and his faith. We'll get into this, in his faithfulness, his favor, to where you can turn the other cheek. He wants me and you to be able to say, and I'm going to give you just, we're going to move on. I can't keep us all day here, but when somebody implies or says to you, you're not good enough, do you know what we really need to learn to respond with instead of getting mad? You're right. You're right. If I was good enough, Jesus wouldn't have had to die for me. Put it where it is. If someone wants to tell you you're not good enough for them, you can agree with them. I'm certainly not good enough. Jesus died on that cross because I was not good enough. Thank you for reminding me. You see, it's when you can handle it that way and you're not so caught up. Well, we're going to get to the second one. You'll see why we do this. Let me go to the second phase. This stuff's good. I just sat there as I was taking these notes, and it's like, I've never seen this in my life. God, you know, it's like, no, because I didn't tell you, but I'm telling you now. He goes on to say, if someone slaps you on the right cheek, you know, the other cheek, then the second thing is he said, if you're sued in court and your shirt's taken, give your coat too. You know, and in some of your translations, if, you know, if they take this, give them your cloak and all that. But it's the same thing. And so I was thinking, well, how does this tie in with this? And he's like, well, we wear, and then it came. We wear a shirt or a blouse, a sweater, whatever, to cover ourselves, to warm us. The coat keeps us warm on top of that. And so if they take one, give them the other. And I said, okay. And then suddenly, here we go. Let's go deeper. Let's go deeper, Tony. Let's go deeper, church. What else does this mean? If they take your shirt, give them your coat. And then it all, listen to this. It all began to hit. It's like, Tony, what are you wrapping yourself with? What's your image? What's your persona? What is it that you project to people? What's your coat? What's your emotional coat? What do you wear for a shirt, for a coat? What do you want people to see? What amount of pride, of ego, of the person that you want public? When they take that, what happens? When they take that, can you offer the rest? We want to appear godly. We want to appear Christian. We want to appear that way. And then somebody takes that, strips it off of us with this public ridicule. See, these are tied together. Didn't catch that. They slap you on the cheek emotionally, and they strip away that persona that you carry. And suddenly you're naked there. The real person is just hanging out. It's when you're put under the gun and you're put to the test. When they strip my reputation, my self-image, my self-esteem, my persona that we all, the persona we all carry, how we want to be seen, somebody takes it. And Jesus said, then give the rest of the stuff with them. Give them your pride and your ego. And I thought, well, what's left if you do all that? And then suddenly it starts to happen. You know, give them all that because that's not the real you. The real you is who you are in your heart. It's who you are in your soul. It's what you think of me in your mind. They can't take that. But they can publicly ridicule you and blame you and attack you and abandon you. And they start stripping all the things away from you that you carry on the outside that we want everybody to see because we're so afraid to let people see the real us. The real who we are in Christ. We're afraid people won't love us or like us or accept us if they see us like we really are. And all the time, they just love us to death. Most of them would. If they could ever get to the real person. And so listen to this. God sometimes allows in life for people to slap you emotionally so that it strips away and they take your shirt and they take your coat, give it to them because God is trying to get the real person to come out of you. The one with compassion. The one that can cry. The one that can stand strong in conflict. All of that together. The real person with feelings. With joy. That's touched by human suffering. And I was thinking, how many times has God allowed in my life for my emotional shirt and my coat to be taken away and I go running to buy another one? To keep my persona. This is deep stuff. This is where it really is. And now we got one more. We got that going that extra mile thing. Because he said, if a soldier demands that you carry his gear for a mile, carry it 2 miles. Give to those who ask and don't turn away from those who want to borrow, but go 2 miles. I was thinking of those, all that gear we carry. I was thinking, you know, a paratrooper, our rucksack alone with just our basic stuff ran about 60 to 70 pounds. And your basic loadout for combat mission is 300 rounds per person. 2 grenades. Think about this. Plus your sea rats. That was back in the old days. It's MREs now. They're lighter. But your combat loadout with all your equipment and you had to go inspect 36, 300 rounds a person, 2 grenades, and all the other stuff that goes with it. And then if you had an M203 grenade launcher, you had to have 36 of those. And you're kind of about 120 to 130 pounds with you, lumbering up with a parachute on your back that adds to that weight. That's why we ran 7 miles a day and did all that stuff. And I was thinking, what if you just grabbed that rucksack alone and just stuck it on the average person and said, carry that a mile for me. Here's my 300 rounds and my 2 grenades and my 36 projectiles for my M203 grenade launcher and all this. So about 120 pounds. Take that and walk a mile. And then after you get there with your tongue hanging out, you go the extra mile. By that time, you'd be wanting to pull the pin on one of those grenades and hand it back to me. And then it hit, you know. Why are you saying to do that? And I don't know what all, they weren't paratroopers. I was just thinking of that loadout, called it our loadout, you know. What was the basic loadout of a soldier back then? Well, they still had to carry a lot of things. And they could just stick it on you and you carry all that junk. And then you get to thinking about it and going that extra mile. You know, what does that mean? We don't have soldiers out here in military. We don't, not under military law, thank God, not yet. But when you're slapped in the face, you're emotionally hurt. When they've taken your shirt and your coat, and you get loaded with all the crud of people's mistakes, lies, criticisms, All the stuff, the blame that people can put on you, you're carrying the load pretty heavy. You see, most of us are burdened with things we don't need to be carrying in the first place. Other people's opinions, other people's attitudes, other people's blame. But Jesus said if they do saddle you with that, since we don't have physical soldiers walking around, if you get saddled, if you get forced to carry somebody else's stuff, He said, I want you to look them in the eye. Those that are ridiculing you and mocking you and blaming you, turning that, as you're turning that other cheek, as you're giving up your coat and your cloak, I want you to start walking and I want you to carry that. I want you to show them what you're made of. Here's what He wants us to remember. That we are God's children and we're God's chosen children. We are forgiven and we're cleansed and we're made holy and we're made righteous by the Lord Jesus Christ, by His shed blood. We are blameless before God. They can take my persona. They can take my reputation. Listen, one of the things pastors struggle with is don't let somebody hurt your reputation, your credibility. And people are always after it. Somebody's always out. It wasn't long ago that I had it mentioned to me, you're not a godly man. I know you try to be a godly man, but you're not one. Well, thank you very much. And have we all been told those kind of things? Well, you're not the Christian you say you are. Everybody's had that, right? No, just me? Okay. You can participate a little bit here. We've had all that stuff, but God says I'm blameless. He said there's no accusation from Him. Go over and read Romans 8. He says there's no condemnation to those in Christ Jesus. You read on a little further, and what does He say to you? God does not accuse you. There's no condemnation. There's no accusation. Christ is there interceding for you. You can read all that. I need to wrap this up. I don't want to stay real long. But listen, they can take my out on the outside. They can strip me of my reputation. They can hurt my credibility. They can accuse me of whatever they want. But they cannot take my soul. They cannot take my relationship with Him. They cannot take my fellowship with Him. They cannot take my prayers. The real person's not what you see on the outside. The real person that you see up here is what's in here. It's what comes out in these messages. That's the person when the Holy Spirit has control and they can strip everything else off, but they can't get who I am in Christ. Thank you. Because they can't. And they can't take it from you. And that's what counts. Listen. You wear your Christianity as a badge of honor, and it's in your heart. It's a privilege to be chosen by Jesus Christ, to be a child of the living God. And when they make you carry their loads, when people try to dump on you, you just tell them, fine, and I'll take it the second mile. And when I'm beat down, and I'm criticized, and I'm kicked around, and I'm abused, and I'm slapped emotionally in the face, what does God want me to do? I'll tell you what He wants me to do. He wants me to show them what I'm made of. Show them I'm really a person of God. Show them that Christ in me is greater than he who is in the world. That's why He's saying go that extra mile. If they slap you on the cheek, turn the other one. They hit you emotionally, they cut you down, they abandon you, they do all these things to you. Friends, listen to me. Let them go ahead because they can't take who you are in Christ. And you turn around and you go that extra mile and you keep your head up and you refuse to be broken by them. This is a time and a challenge like never before, when we as God's children need to be able to take that stand, not with hatred, but with love and for Jesus in our hearts and the strength of the living God and the power of the Holy Spirit and loving God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength and each other and our neighbors, ourselves. We take that stand and say, you want to dump on me? I'll walk that mile and I'll give you an extra one. I will not bend. I will not break. I will not stop. I'm made of Christian steel. And the fire of God flows through my holy veins. Because I'm more than a conqueror through Christ who loves me. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the power of it. We thank you for letting us look at something we've seen and read so many times. Turn that cheek. Give them your coat. Go the extra mile. And then we see it for what it means and what the depth of it, taking it deeper. It's a chance for us to show what we're made of. To even prove to ourselves that we really are God's children. As well as the world, to show them all that we are made of Christian steel. We have a fiber of God. God, fill us to overflowing. Give us strength. Lift up the broken hearts, the downcast eyes, the sadness and the sorrow. Take away, lift the depression, take away the oppression. And God, keep us armored up, filled up, going forward, never ever backing down. We ask your grace, your strength, your love, your forgiveness, and your almighty power flowing through us. Now and always, in Jesus' holy name, Father, bless these your people. Bless them indeed and enlarge their territory. Your hand be with them and keep each and every one from evil, that they cause you no pain. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.